greet you all this morning in the most precious name that we know, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I have a message to bring which is very exciting to me, something I talked to Brother Vail about the other day, and he just kind of mentioned it off the cuff, but it really struck me as being a real help for you as Christian people, so that you might know your standing and your status before God. And so this morning, as we continue in our study of the book of Romans, we'll be addressing the topic of your state in comparison to your status. Your state in comparison to your status. Therefore, to keep the title short, we'll call it State versus Status. Now, that might sound like a legal title or a legal court battle, but actually what we're dealing with is we're dealing with your status, which is by election, versus your state or your standing before God, which has to deal more with your current standing or your current life that you're living. So, to begin, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 2 and begin reading at verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, those who seek for glory and honor and immortality, to them will be rendered eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and that word contentious doesn't mean they're ornery, but the word contentious actually means those who are contending. Now, not those who are contending for the faith, but those who are actually contending. They're out electioneering. They're trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to be the big guy. And at the expense of other people. Now, before we go on, I could point out the fact that this contentious, or those who are contentious, this contentious attribute, I won't say it, I'll ask you. Who was the first being that was contentious? Huh? Satan. Sure. When? In heaven. Remember, he contended with Michael, and he wanted a greater kingdom than Michael did. So we find then that there's every person is going to be rewarded according to their deeds, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, who seek for glory, which is the doxa, and honor, and immortality, they'll receive as their reward eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unright wiseness, what's left for them is indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now, before we move further along this morning, I want to talk about our little text. Paul is telling us that every man will receive his just reward for the deeds that he does in his flesh. Those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness shall receive eternal life, and those who seek for position and honor among men will receive their just due as well. And here's the key, it's your motive. Some men spend their whole life vying for position and electioneering for position, and they're never satisfied with that position that God has given to them. That is the mark of their father Lucifer, who did the same thing in the beginning. He was not satisfied with leading the angels in worship, and so he began to direct the worship to Himself. And like Brother Vail said, it all boils down to worship. It all does. Every church you go to, brothers and sisters, it all boils down to worship. Therefore, are we worshiping God or are we worshiping that other Jesus? See? Now, as I mentioned, as we began our message this morning, we'll be addressing the topic of state versus status. Now, the state we're talking about is your current standing, or as Mr. Webster defines, it's the set of circumstances or attributes characterizing a person or thing at a given time. What is your state right now? That's what it means. Given your circumstances, given the life, everything that envelopes you right now, where's your state? Now, in contrast to this, we'll also examine what is called your status, which, according to Mr. Webster, is one's position with regard to law. One's position, his rank or standing with regards to law. And as you can see, that is what God has declared about you through His Word, or His law. Whereas the other is your actual current condition, which can be based upon your present circumstances that you're facing. One speaks of the promise and election, while the other speaks of the current progress in your path, or predestination, toward that rightful position. In other words, where are you at right now? And so we just diagram this a little bit so you can understand. We see that we have status versus state. Now, your status is what God said about you. It's your election. It's your position in Christ. It's what you are ordained to, which you cannot affect or effect in any manner. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now that is state. All things working together for your good, that is state. Now notice, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is status. Notice again, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we're dealing with His purpose, we're dealing with status. And what do you place in His purpose? Your position in Christ. But when we're dealing with state, we're dealing with all things shall work together for the good. You see? So we're dealing with the all things. We're dealing with those things that you can affect. We're dealing with sowing and reaping. We're dealing with circumstances. We're dealing with the trials of your faith. In other words, we're dealing with the metamorphosis that is taking place within you. But with the purpose of all these coming together, state and status blending together until finally your state is a reflection of your status. Now, who can tell me some other things about status? Things you can't change. How about position? Remember when Samuel went to the witch of Endor? And he said, conjure up for me, I want to see Saul. I want to see Samuel. And when Samuel came forward, he was still a prophet, wasn't he? Brother Branham said, a prophet is always a prophet. He's ordained a prophet from before the foundations of the world. So he'll be a prophet then on the other side as well. It's like Brother Bell told me, he said, look, he said, people think that, you know, God's going to do away with teachers one day. Listen, he said, I was ordained a teacher. I'll be a teacher on the other side. God's given you a place in the body of Christ, a position. You'll have that position on the other side. But we all have one position in common. That's sons or born ones. And I'll say born ones because there's no male or female in Christ. Born ones. Sons. My status in Christ, son. Son. It can't be taken from me. and as a son I've got to come forth. Notice, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Your status in Christ, brother, sister, cannot change. It cannot change. No matter how much your state changes, your status cannot change. Now, this is important, because sometimes the devil hops on your back and he rides you about nuances. He rides you about your cockabur nature, those little hooks in your elbows. But that has not one thing to do with your position in Christ. And you've got to be able to understand it, because remember, we talked on the garden of your mind. And what we're looking at, brother and sister, is a blending of your position in Christ with a blending of your actions and your life, your living. Now remember, when we spoke about the garden of your mind, we brought out various thoughts which depicted the way in which God uses circumstances to show us the present condition or the state of the mental and spiritual garden in our mind. And since our thoughts are words, and we know that words are seeds, and the law of reproduction says that every seed must bring forth of its own kind, which is its own nature, then the life in each seed that we sow will have to make itself known. Then when each seed thought gives way to a life expression in the form of an action or deed, which we call an experience, it will then cause other things to happen in response. And as the law of physics states, there must be a reaction for every action. Therefore, we can see what Peter had in mind when he said that we shouldn't be so shocked or surprised when your actions cause other circumstances to happen that you have no control over. Now, if you're wise, you'll know that you really can control the circumstances around you by not causing them to happen in the first place. Because every action that you take, there is a reaction to be returned. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful how we do things. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, we read, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we read, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed, lest he fall." In Galatians 5 and 15, we read, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." So if we bite and devour one another, what's going to happen? You'll get consumed. If you sow in that realm, you'll reap also in that realm. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, it says, "Take heed lest by any means your liberty become a stumbling block to them that are weak." See? So you see how that your life and the way that your state, brother and sister, has an effect upon other people. In Luke 21 and verse 34, it says, "And take heed to yourselves lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting." That's over excess. Indulgences. And drunkenness and the cares of the anxieties of this life. And so that that day would come upon you unawares. State versus status. The things, brother, sister, that you do, the things that you say, are a reflection of your state. Your current state, your current position. I shouldn't say position, your current standing. They're reflectors of your predestinated path and where you are along that path. Are you pretty far down along the path to where your whole life is a reflection of your position in Christ? Or are you somewhere up in the beginnings and you're still butting your head and trying to get started? Excuse me. Now, we really believe that everything we sow will eventually result in a reaping. Then when we sow hateful speech or criticism, we should not be surprised when the criticisms come back our way. Therefore, we should be able to see by now how that the outer world of circumstances actually shape themselves to our inner world of thinking. And both pleasant and unpleasant external conditions are factors which make for our ultimate good or work together for our good. And that is why we learn by both suffering and by receiving blessings. Each of these outward stimulus or stimuli helps to further our growth toward that image of Christ that we so long to be in our souls. Therefore, we should be able to see that our actions are only an expression of our thoughts. Circumstances then just do not happen. They just do not happen. But they grow out of the conditions of our heart. Just as our spiritual lives are progressive, where word must be piled upon word to bring forth the glorified body, so too do our circumstances add to our suffering in order to help shape our character, or to help our character to grow and develop. Every situation we face in life is like the piece of a large puzzle that, once fitted together, gives purpose and meaning to each of the other pieces. The circumstances and conditions that we face each day are only reflectors which will help us to know how far along in our development that we've come. Therefore, you may not always receive what you pray for. But know one thing for sure. Can anyone tell me what that is? You will always receive what you have sown for. Therefore, our desires and prayers are only gratifying to us when they are in harmony with what we're actually sowing in the recesses of our mind. In other words, when you are praying and your prayer is a reflection of what you're actually sowing, then you have harmony and you'll reap what you pray for because you're sowing for it. See? When we fight circumstances, we are only revolting against the effect of what we have been sowing. We see the circumstances that are without, and we may not like what we see, yet they are there only because we keep nourishing them in our minds. And we keep feeding and thus preserving them in the garden of our mind. Remember, you've heard this little parable Brother Branham told probably 100 times, if not more. Where he talked about the Indian chief, and he said, two dogs were warring within. He said, who's winning? He said, white dog and black dog. He said, who's winning, chief? He said, the one I feed the most. Now in Matthew 16 and verse 27, we read, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, in the doxa of his Father, with his angels. Right? We've seen the picture. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, notice, and then, meaning after he has appeared, the rewards shall come. And every man shall be rewarded according to the deeds he has done according to his works. Now the question is, who hands out the reward? What does this Christ coming in the angel signify? Can you see the picture from there? The white wig is what? Huh? The supreme judge. So then who's going to hand out the rewards? The judge. Hasn't the judge descended from heaven? What did the white cloud signify but the white wig of the supreme judge? Then what are these rewards? They are the eternal life for those who believe and the judgments. And when do the judgments begin? What did Peter say? Huh? I heard somebody say it. In the house of the Lord. For the time has come, 1 Peter 4 and 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? Notice he says, then if,
judgment, he says judgment must begin at the house of God, then it comes as a response to what is done with the Word of God. Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And we read in the book of Acts, chapter 13:46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was of necessity that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." He's speaking to the Jews. "But seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Now notice, by putting away the word of life, they're judging themselves as not being worthy of eternal life. Therefore, we can see that to accept the word of God brings forth rewards of eternal life. And to reject it or turn away from it brings rewards of tribulation, along with the seven plagues and finally damnation, which is eternal separation from God and those that are His. In Revelation 22:12-14, he said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And if His rewards are with Him, then it takes His presence to bring forth those rewards and to bring them into manifestation." Can anybody tell me why? Because everything that is manifested by what? Ephesians 3. Everything that's manifested will be manifested by the light. You see, it takes light to bring up a seed. It takes light to bring the seed into manifestation. Therefore, it takes the presence of God to crystallize everyone. Therefore, brother and sister, your status versus your state have got to come to the place of crystallization, where one day your state will be a reflection of your status. But mind you, for some, it's going to be a rough and rocky road, because they're not sowing for their status. They're not sowing for their position. They're not sowing for their election. And so their predestinated path will be rough and rocky. Rough and rocky. Now, something might have to take you out of here to get you there, whereas others will be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. See? So you're looking at your state. You're looking at you're sowing and reaping. Brother Branham said, I can tell you right now, he said that there's another body already waiting you, because he quotes 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says that if this body be dissolved, there's another already waiting. And he said, did you know that the actions that you do and the things that you think on and the words that you say are only a reflection of what that other body is doing? Now that's quite a thought for him to say. And so we're looking, brother and sister, that we have got then, as a purpose, as a goal in life, to bring our earthly body or earthly mindset into a pure reflection of that glorified body, that glorified condition. But I want you to see, because I want you to know this, if you're God's, if you're elect of God, then you're a born one. Now remember, only those that are born ones, that are seed, can have the mind of God in them. Like Brother Vail told me the other day, he said, Brian, he said, could God be in you except you're a seed? I said, absolutely not. He said, that's correct. How could God infill something which is not His seed? Because you're dealing with life. Therefore, only faith will give you access to this, your position. Faith doesn't give you access to this, but you use faith to bring about a conformance in this to this. Now, if you don't have this right, God doesn't cast you away and say you're not a son any longer. That's your assurance that you have. But you do know one thing. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. It's going to be a miserable life, a miserable existence. I've known some people in life that were just struggled, always struggled. Some of them God takes off the scene in a miserable way. Some die of alcoholism, things, but they were sons. They just didn't sow. And they always reap. And the terrible thing is, it seems like some of the trial, it's just the same trial over and over and over again. You think we'd learn by our experience, because that's what it's all about. In fact, as we get into this, you'll understand that faith gives you access, and then the access, if we patiently wait and begin sowing, that sowing brings experience, because everything you sow is going to bring forth a circumstance, and it'll bring you into conformity. Now, people often think that the reward is not handed out until the great white throne judgment, but Brother Branham said, we are standing before the white throne now. And if the judge is here, then so are the judgments, which are the rewards. Then what Peter said has got to be true. The judgment begins in the house of God. Those who believe are quickened to eternal life, while those who would turn down eternal life are left for destruction. The lake of fire is not the only reward. The tribulation is the beginning of those rewards for the unbeliever, while the rapture is the rewards for the believer. Now this morning we're looking at our status in Christ versus our current standing. And the first thing I want you to understand is that if you are elect, then you have nothing to worry about. You can't be lost. That's your status in Christ. That ought to make you feel good. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. In Ephesians 1 and 3, we read again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven and places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that, notice that, in other words, there was a specific purpose that He had in mind, because He said that we should be holy and without blame before Him or in His presence. In Ephesians 3 and 11 we read, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by His faith, by the faith of Him. And in 1 Peter 1 and 3, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a hope which has been made alive by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among the dead. Now let's get back to Romans. We're going to skip up to Romans 5, verse 1. Paul says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This, brother, sister, is what I'm talking about right here. Right here. Knowing this, your position ought to bring peace in your current state. And bringing peace to your current state causes you to quit sowing conflict. It brings you to rest. Relaxation under the seventh seal. See? So he says, therefore being justified by faith, having the revelation by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we now stand. There's your standing in Christ. That's your status. We have grace, wherein we now stand. That's status. See? And we rejoice in the earnest expectation of receiving the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations or trials worketh patience, and patience works experience, which is character. And character brings forth earnest expectation. And earnest expectation maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In other words, brother and sister, as we begin to focus on our status, it brings in line our state. It brings in line our standing. It brings an earnest expectation, which when you have the trials, you realize that it's all things are working together for the good. What is God trying to bring about in my life by this trial? Am I learning submission? Am I learning to trust completely? Look at Jesus Himself learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Obedience to what? To the Word. To the Word. To His position. He was the Lamb. And yet, the Bible says He cried out, "My God," His hands, His feet, knowing, brother, sister, the agony that He would go through. And He so fought against His flesh, which wasn't born in sin like yours and mine. But He so fought against His flesh that His veins burst and He sweated droplets of blood. He fought the good fight. He ran the race. Henceforth there was laid up for Him a crown which no man can take away. Bringing the state to conform to your status. That's then understanding, brother and sister, because the Catholic Church preaches works. And then you've got the other people who go so far over, they say, well, it's all status. No, there's a status, but there's also a state. Your current state. This is where you suffer in, brother and sister. You don't suffer in here. This is rest, relaxation, peace. But this is where you suffer in. And that is because you don't know your position in Christ. And so you're constantly trying to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Throwing all these scriptures in so you can understand, see. And he that has his hope in Him purifies himself as he is pure. You can't purify this. It's a done deal. The purification comes in the body. Through the mind. Bringing the mind by access through faith. See? Now we see here that faith begins it all. Faith brings us into grace. And remember, in 2 Peter, our grace is multiplied by the knowledge of God. And so we see that faith gives us access, and faith is a revelation. Then this revelation, which is the Word of God, revealed to us. And remember, the Word of God is a seed as well. Then when the life that is in the Word is made known, it is released back into our lives and it takes over. It must bring forth after its own kind, and that kind or nature is the very nature of God. That is why Peter told us also that everything we have need of pertaining to life comes from the Word. He also said even God's divine nature must come by His Word. And notice Paul tells us here that faith brings us access and then brings us experience, which is character, therefore purifying us in the process. Therefore, we can see that the trials we are going through are indeed an indicator as to our current standing and have no relevance as to our status as already justified, sanctified, and glorified. And the only way that this could be possible is that we are indeed the seed of God. Now this brings me to mind something, brother, sister, which is just exciting because it's just coming out in my mind right now. This is our theophany. I'll call it that. This is our glorified condition, our position in Christ. This is where we're at now in the body of this death. But God uses the sowing, the reaping, the circumstances, everything to bring together this body, soul, and spirit with this glorification. And it all began by the shout. It all began by God coming down and expressing to you where you're at, but where you're supposed to go. We didn't know we were sons. Not like that. Like Brother Bram said, we all thought we'd have harps and sit on a cloud someplace. We didn't know. But he said, we're coming back here to earth. And so the whole process is by showing us this, by giving us access to this by faith, which is a revelation. It's begin to work in the body of this death, bringing harmony between the body, soul, and spirit. Bringing it together. Now, the only way that this could be possible is that we're the seed of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, it does not say that we commit, but that word is actually initiate sin. For his, God's seed, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. He cannot disbelieve. Because he is born of God. God's life is in him. And let's face it, no one can have eternal life without being the seed of God. For every seed must come forth after its own nature, after its own kind. In Matthew 7 and verse 17 we read, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That's why I can't understand these guys who say, Oh, Brother Vail. He's got such a nasty nature. He's got such a, you know, he blah, blah, blah. And yet they say, but man, I tell you what, I've never heard anybody preach like that. I've never heard anybody with so much truth. Sister, Brother Brand said, you know what the fruit is? He said, it's the teaching of the season. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth bad teaching. Therefore, brother, sister, when they say, oh, I don't like His Spirit, but I sure love the Word, they don't understand a thing. They don't understand that His Spirit is the Word. His Spirit, God doesn't look on the Spirit. Look, God doesn't look at this. You look at that. God looks at that. This is what you're looking at. This is where you're at right now. But this is where God wants you to be. This is where God ordained you to be. And this is what God looks at. He doesn't look at the bugs on your elbows, the fish hooks. He looks at your ordination, your foreordination. He looks at the seed life that He placed in you, and He knows it's got to come to fruition. Hallelujah. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, his word, doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit, his teaching, in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he's sowing. See, the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind, the doctrine, driveth away. So God has likened you to a tree, and He said, a tree, a good tree, cannot bring forth bad fruit. You cannot bring forth an evil understanding of the message for your hour. Therefore, we should be able to see that our position in Christ is without question. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They've got to know Him too if they're following Him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Therefore, if you're the seed of God, no man, including yourself, could ever pluck you out of God's hand. Brother, sister, I don't care how much you sow in the wrong here, one day this and this are going to blend. They've got to. But you sow the wrong things here, and you're going to reap in this life and the life to come. If you sow on this side, you receive on this side. Didn't He say, if you give up family, friends, houses, and land for my sake, the Lord will, He said, He'll give you back even up to 100-fold this life for the world to come, and the world to come? Didn't the angel of the Lord speak out speak through a three times it was interpreted. Because thou hast chosen the narrow way, a great portion of heaven is given, is laid up for you. Brother Branham, you sow, brother, sister, you sow to earthly things, you sow to this temporary existence, and you'll reap. Oh yes, you'll reap. You play the money markets right, you keep sowing left, you'll reap. But what about here? Here, brother, sister, you've got a position, you've got a sonship. But that could be the extent of it. Now, if you're ordained a prophet, you'll be a prophet. You can't help it. You can't get away from it. The prophets have tried. They all tried to run from it. The same with any office in God, any calling. You know, it seems like today, people, the husbands and wives, the two family incomes, you talk to people that are just have their mindset for this world, and everything they're doing is they're putting in stocks, you know, and they almost work to where really one of them would just have to work if they weren't investing in this and everything else, and of course paying the government and everything else, because about 50% of it. But and they're sewing up, storing for retirement. Now think about it. They're storing for retirement. Now I'm not saying it's a bad thing to store some for retirement. As long as you're keeping focus, this. Because we know the economic condition anyway, the whole thing's going to go bust. It's all going to go bust. Therefore, we should be able to see that our position in Christ is without question. As Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, brother, sister, that means that you cannot pluck yourself. You cannot do away with this. No way. No matter how hard you try, how far you run, there's no way. All you're doing is you'll be sowing for yourself a lot of trouble in this life. Unless, of course, you're a baboon. You know, they have put hearts of baboon into men. So, anyway. 2 Timothy 2:19, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, that's your status in Christ. In fact, Brother Branham said from paragraph 309 of the fifth seal, he says, see the man, when he dies, he doesn't change his status, he doesn't change his makeup. But what about your standing? That, he went on to talk about how a prophet's always going to be a prophet. Where are you at on the long road to sinless perfection? From the serpent seed, Brother Rand said, we're not here as a bunch of illiterate crackpots. We know where we are standing in the Word of God. You've got to know, brother, sister, your status, and you've got to know your state. From Patmos Vision, he said, we know where we are standing because we have the same Spirit in us, moving with us and showing that He's here. It's not us, it's Him. We can't do those things, it's God. Besides that, in the scientific world, He permitted His picture to be taken. With us, in us, around us, over us, through us, working in and out of us. Oh, how wonderful. From ever-present water, of the Brother Branham said, most holy God, who has created the heavens and the earth by the word of thy mouth, by the thoughts of thy mind, we are coming into thy presence through Jesus Christ our Lord to give thee thanks for all that you have done for us. And we're so grateful to you, Lord, this morning, to know where we are standing, to know the position that we are in this morning, and the history of time and the future that's coming, knowing today that by the grace of God that we've been washed in Calvary's blood, that we are prepared with faith in our hearts to meet Him if He should come today. We should say, even so, come Lord Jesus. from the message Christ. He said the church is the only one that'll live today and not go out into universalism and so forth and into this modernistic social gospel, is those who's got the blood on the doorpost out here of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ born again. They know where they're standing if they're really born again. They'll not be entangled with every yoke and every doctrine and tossed about here and there and every cult. They know where they're standing in Christ through the blood. From the hidden life with Christ, he said in the Bible, taking it from an Old Testament standpoint, a view, for many years ago in the wilderness when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, which was a type of the world. And in their journey is a type of the journey today that we're in. They were in their road to the promised land, and we are on our road to the promised land. You believe that? God is taking us out of Egypt. Egypt was a type of the world, bondage and slavery. And He's brought us up out of Egypt, and we're on our way to God's promised land for the believer. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're in a journey tonight? And notice in the journey now, they didn't have things so rosy. They had their ups and downs and troubles and backslidings, but still, they went on to the promised land. This is our journey, see? You notice in there, some of them grumbled and some murmured. They seen visions and so forth, and God brought down miraculous miracles and done mighty works in their midst. And just as soon as the trials come on, they forget all about it, went to grumbling and murmuring again. It's the very picture of the church today in the status that it stands in now. So notice he's painting the picture of the church and its status. See? All right, from divine love. He says, now, here it is, and it's pretty sharp. No person is in their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a deep word, but that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That sounds, but it's the Bible. Certainly, that is true. Brother, sister, how can you be in your right mental mind if you don't know your position here? By faith we have access by grace. And so when God reveals to us this, it brings our right mind. And until this, brother, sister, you don't have a right mind. You've got a mind that's just a teeny bopper or whatever, and you just want to go do this and this, and you're so caught up because you don't have your right mind. That's why men can go out there and do things with men and just like a bunch of animals. Animals aren't even as crude. They don't have a right mind. The Bible called them brute beasts. See, from painted face Jezebel, he said, I've always said, let me go into a man's house and let me stand out and let him stand out on the street and testify and sing and shout, speak with tongues and dance in the Spirit, anything he wants to do, but let me go into his house and look at these old pin-up girls on the wall. Let me look at these magazines that he's reading here on the desk and listen at him turn the radio on to some African nonsense of rock and roll and boogie-woogie. I can tell you right now what kind of a spirit he's got. Because all you have to do is see what it feeds on. I don't care how much he carries on out there in the street. Here's what he's really feeding on. That's his diet. That's right. No matter how well he claims and how good society and what his standing and what his social status is, that doesn't make a bit of difference. Watch what his spirit feeds on, what music he listens to, what he reads, what he looks at, and you can tell what he's made out of then. And his character will always tell. In other words, let's look at the status. Look at the circumstances. Look at the reapings. And that'll tell you, brother, sister, what you're feeding on. That'll tell you if by faith you've entered into here and you know your true position in Christ. And until you do, you're not born again. Because the new birth will open up to you who you really are. That's why, look, you can't get on kids so bad, you know, when they do these things because they're not born again. But when they're born again, brother, sister, they'll have, by revelation, by faith, they'll see that they're not one of these serpent seed children. That they truly are a son or daughter of the Most High God. But they've got to be born again. God doesn't have grandkids. And we're having a second, third generation coming up. Kids. And you younger people will be married in the next few years if the Lord tarries. You'll have kids. God doesn't have grandkids and great-grandchildren. He only has children. From door of doors, Brother Branham said, now, that certainly fits the situation today of the modern church today and the Pentecostal church today, just lukewarm condition, neither hot nor cold. It would be better if we would be either back in their old denominational state status or either be up in the realms of the blessing of God than to sit in a lukewarm condition as we are now. The Lord would appreciate us much more if we would do it. From Be Not Afraid, he said, we just couldn't hardly get away from each other. Talking about the old timers. Just wanted to shake hands again. And sometimes we would just walk out to the car and pat one another on the shoulder. And just not as a makeup or just to be put on, but something that was really coming from the heart. I just wished all the Church of the Living God could feel that way about it tonight. We'd just be in such a grand unity for the coming of the Lord, which I believe is near at hand. I believe we're living in the very shadows of it. And if He doesn't come today, I'll be looking for Him tomorrow. And if He doesn't come this year, I'll be looking for Him next year. Just whenever. I want to be looking every minute for Him coming. Carrying on, just doing what I can, but still believing that He's coming anytime and being prepared for it. And I think the preparation of the church should stand in that status at all times. That we should certainly be watching for the coming of the Lord. In other words, Brother Brown said, look, if you could just get your mind focused on this status, the election of God, the plan of God, all of this will come in line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. From greater than Solomon is here, he said, Jesus Christ is here in the form of the Holy Ghost with all the divine gifts in the whole body of Christ being made manifest. All the things that He promised to the church is being shown unto us, and some of us care so little. Some of us, we keep looking ahead as long as Satan can make you look ahead for something over yonder. You're passing over the very thing that God's given you. Listen to this remark. Man is constantly praising God for what he has done and looking forward to what he will do, but ignoring what he's doing. That's the status of mankind. He's always did that. And the same thing is tonight. Men look over and look back and see what God does and talk about a great God back yonder at Pentecost and look for a great day of a millennium when He will come again, but ignoring His very being in the presence of His people, making ready for that millennium. They ignore it. It's just the nature of people to do that. Satan gets among them to hide their eyes from the very things that God sent to them. That's all he has to do. Finally, let's go to Matthew 25 because we're looking at two types of Christians. We're looking at those who made it in the rapture and those who didn't. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, which is the word. The word of God is a lamp under our feet, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took the word, but no oil, no anointing on that word. But the wise took oil, took the anointing with their vessels, with their lamp. In other words, they had an anointed word. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, in other words, come see, the bridegroom is here. It doesn't say, actually, if you look at the original, it doesn't say, go ye out to meet him. It says, come out to meet him. Because the cry was not made from within, it was made from without. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They trimmed the word. They begin to search the word. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The light's gone out, see, from our lamp, from our word. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. You know, they sell the tapes down in Jeffersonville. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards also came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he said unto them, I verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. In other words, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called for his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said unto them, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath, unto every one who is created in such a way as to echo, shall be given. And he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brother, sister, what is our state? Are we sowing for the status which God has given us? Lucifer was given a status to lead in the worship. And Lucifer sowed to that for a period of time and then began to draw the worship to himself. He wasn't appreciative of the status that God gave him. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, first of all, for your election. And secondly, Lord, for giving us the revelation, the faith, the access to that status. Because since, Lord, that you've given me the access to that status, it helps me to know what to sow for. It helps me to know what to plan my life for. It helps me to know what to live for. But without access by faith, without the new birth, we just wander like those in the desert. So, Father, my great desire is that you would bring forth a new birth in every individual here this morning. I don't care how young they are, Father. I pray that you would show them their status and reveal it to their heart. It's been shown to them this morning by your word. Now I pray, Father, that you would anoint it, that you would water, that it could never be taken from them. And once that opening, that door, that window, once that window opens, and once that apocalypse takes place, that unveiling of just who we are, it'll begin to
bring our standing in conformity with our status. It'll begin to bring our state and status together. Until we come to the place as your prophet did before he went off the scene, where he said, "All my thoughts are of God." And this is our prayer, Lord, that we pray in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was the example of his state and status being one. Now we commit ourselves to our state and status becoming one. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.